prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 30. And before we look into the word of the Lord, with the Lord's help, now let us seek the Lord's help in prayer. Most loving and gracious Father, we come again into thy presence. And, O Lord, we come to seek thy face with thy holy word open now before us. And, O Lord, we ask that this day we will hear the voice of the Lord. And, O gracious Father, for any today perhaps who have their backs to thee, may they hear behind them that voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Grant us now, O Lord, that thy help and thy power, and help us to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make much of his blood. For we ask all these things in his name, giving to the Lord Jesus all the praise and all of the glory. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 30. And the verse I would like to consider this morning with the help of the Lord is verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. What we do and how we react to emergency situations will tell us a lot about ourselves and about how strong our faith is and our trust is in God. The disciples faced an emergency when crossing the Sea of Galilee. They encountered a great storm of wind, and their immediate reaction to this emergency was to charge the Savior with not caring about them. To which the Lord replied, after he stilled the tempest, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" So that storm told the disciples something about themselves, that they had very little faith. The sudden tempest exposed their lack of trust and weakness, and the weakness of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A reluctance to trust Jehovah when a storm of another kind burst upon Judah in the days of Isaiah the prophet. For you see, the Assyrians had come up in great force and were covering the land with their armies. They had already devastated their neighboring kingdom of Israel. And therefore the men of Judah were afraid that they would soon be swallowed up themselves. What was Judah to do? Here was an emergency. What did she do? Well, let us look at what action Judah took when this emergency rose, when this military storm was about to break upon them. Now we look at the opening two verses of the chapter, and we note there their counsel. For we read, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." Look at verse 2. "That walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." So we see that when the Assyrian armies threatened to overthrow Judah, instead of seeking the counsel of God, instead of looking to the Lord for advice and asking Him what to do, they sought the counsel of the ungodly. They sought the counsel of the Egyptians. And in so doing, ignored the Lord and His counsel. Notice also their company. We're told again in that verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And so once again, when this emergency arose, Judah did not look to the Lord for counsel. Neither did Judah look to the Lord for company. They didn't ask the Lord to come and be their strength. They did not put their trust in Jehovah. They put their trust in Pharaoh and in the horses and in the chariots of Egypt. That's what they did. We notice also their complaint at this time of emergency. Just as the disciples complained to the Lord, so we find that Judah complained to the Lord as well. At the very time that Judah should have been looking to the Lord for help, why Judah comes and complains to the Lord? For we read there in verse 10, which say, this is Judas speaking, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cause to cease from before us." And so when Assyria threatened Judah, what advice, what counsel the Lord was ready to give them, we discover that Judah rejected it. And Judah told the seers of God, told the prophets of God, "Prophesy not unto us. We don't want to hear your words. We are seeking the advice and the counsel of Pharaoh, and we don't want the counsel of God." What was that counsel? What would the Lord have told Judah to have done? We're told there in verse 7, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength The Lord is saying to Judah, if she would only obey, the Lord was saying to Judah, your strength is to be found in your sitting still. That's where your strength is. Sit still. Don't go running down into Egypt, endangering your lives. Your strength is in sitting still. Verse 15, thus saith the Holy God, the Holy One, the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Once more, the Lord was saying to Judah, sit still. That's where your strength is. Put your confidence in me. And all will be well. And the Lord then said, and ye would not. But ye said, no. So they wouldn't take the counsel of God. They wouldn't look to Him for advice. They wouldn't sit still. They wouldn't put their confidence and trust in Jehovah. And so they must then suffer the consequences. What were the consequences? Verse 3, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame. Putting your trust in Pharaoh and in the Egyptians will be to your shame. You'll find that trust that you placed in Pharaoh and in the Egyptians will work out to your shame. Look at verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Your trust and confidence in the Egyptians will be to no purpose and no profit. Look at verse 12. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despised this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. The Lord is saying your confidence in the Egyptians will be like a wall that's ready to fall. Be like a wall that's about to burst out and fall and collapse, and it will be to your shame. And the thing is, it will happen suddenly. That was the consequences. And the Lord said in chapter 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. And that brings now the words of our text before us. They would suffer the consequences. They would go their own way. They would look to Pharaoh. They would look to Egypt and the horses and the chariots there. They would put their confidence in man. And the Lord then said, therefore, I will wait. I'll wait. I will wait until you see what happens. I'll wait until you see what takes place after you put your trust in Egypt and in Pharaoh. I'll wait. Then the Lord said, therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. Here is a remarkable verse. Here we have a remarkable text. Here we have an absolutely remarkable promise from a God who has been offended by Judah's disobedience and Judah ignoring God and going and looking for help in Pharaoh in Egypt and at the hand of Pharaoh, yet the Lord says, I will wait that I may be gracious. Therefore, will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. So the Lord is the God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Why this message went out by the prophet Isaiah to the elders in Judah, I believe it is a word for us today. A tremendous promise. The Lord says, therefore, I will wait that I may be gracious unto you. And dear child of God, the Lord is waiting to be gracious unto us. He's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting to be gracious. And he says to us, blessed are all they that wait for him. He's waiting to bless that people who wait for him. He's waiting, and he's waiting. He's waiting to be gracious. First of all, we have here the Lord's patience with his people. The Lord is saying that through the prophet, and therefore will the Lord wait. There's his patience. And dear child of God, where would we be today if it were not for the patience of God? Was he not patient unto us before we ever knew him? He was patient. He spoke to us again and again through the Word, and by his Spirit brought us under conviction. And we knew what we ought to do. We knew then that we needed to be saved, but we went on in our rebellion. But the Lord waited. He was waiting to be gracious to us. He was waiting to be gracious in salvation. No wonder Paul said in Romans 15, verse 5, that our God is a God of patience. And how patient he has been with us even now, since we have come to know him. The Lord is patient with us. Even as Moses said, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. As unconverted souls, the Lord was patient with us. And he still is now. He demonstrates that patience. And he demonstrated it to Judah while he waited. What was he waiting for? One, he was waiting for his people to realize their mistake. That's what he was waiting for. When the Assyrians threatened her, Judah made the mistake of not looking to God. Instead of saying with the psalmist, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth has made. But Judah didn't do that. Judah made the mistake of instead lifting up her eyes, she took her eyes and looked down. She looked down to Egypt. Instead of looking up, she looked down. And she looked down to Egypt. And as we've already pointed out, the Lord said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Judah had not looked to the Lord for help. Judah had not waited for the Lord to help her. And now the Lord is waiting. And he's waiting for Judah to recognize her mistake. Sitting, as it were, waiting. So the day that Judah will recognize her mistake and begin to call upon God. And the Lord says, then I will be gracious. For Judah to look to Egypt was a great mistake. And Judah would learn the hard way. Judah would learn the hard way because we read in verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee till ye be left as a beacon. The Lord says when the time of affliction comes, when the battle begins, those whom you put your trust in, they'll abandon you, they will flee. And you'll be left like a beacon upon the top of a mountain. Look at the Bible margin, the word beacon there. Speaks of a tree that is bereft of its branches and its boughs. It'll be stripped like a tree, and the Lord says you'll be like a tree stripped of its branches and its boughs. And the Lord was waiting for Judah to recognize and to realize her mistake. You remember when Israel, the elders of Israel, rejected Samuel. No longer wanted Samuel to be their judge. The Lord gave Judah, or gave Israel, what she desired. A king after her own heart. And the Lord gave them Saul. And when they found out what sort of a man Saul was, they came running again to Samuel, saying to Samuel, we have sinned. Samuel, will you pray for us? The Lord waited them till Israel realized they had made the mistake, and they turned again, and their thoughts turned again to prayer. And the Lord was waiting for Judah, and for Judah's thoughts to turn again to prayer. Waiting for Judah to realize her mistake and to start calling upon God. And so it is with us. I'm sure in times past we have made decisions and the Lord has waited until we realized our mistake and look to him again in prayer. Have there not been those times that we have taken decisions without seeking the counsel of the Lord? And the Lord has waited and waited until we realized our mistake. And then the Lord has come and been gracious unto us. And this, dear child of God, we have in recent days made a decision, taken a step without seeking the mind and the counsel of God. Well, the Lord's waiting. He's waiting till you realize the mistake and begin once again to call upon him in prayer. For blessed are all they that wait for him. He was waiting for his people to realize their mistake. He was waiting for his people to respond to his ministers. While the Lord would be waiting, he would still allow his prophets to minister unto them. We've already read those verses. where the Lord sent out his prophets, but Israel or Judah would not hear. But then we read in verse 20, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." There's the mercy and the grace of God again. Even though Judah had rejected the word that God's servants preached unto them, yet the Lord says, "I will not withdraw my teachers. I will not take away my prophets. I will allow them to continue ministering to you." Men of Judah would not hear the law of the Lord. Yet the Lord says, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed." And so the Lord was going to continue ministering to the people, to the elders of Judah, calling upon them to turn to him in prayer, to begin waiting upon him. And he's waiting, and he's waiting. And he's waiting for the elders of Judah to respond to the ministry of the word. He's waiting for the elders of Judah to begin praying. And the Lord was saying, "I'll wait, and when you start praying, I'll be gracious. Because blessed are all they that wait for the Lord." And as the Lord's word has ministered to us, ministered to us week after week, ministered to us regarding prayer, until we get to that place where we wait upon God, it's only then God says, "I'll be gracious. I'm waiting. I'm waiting to be gracious. I'm waiting to bless you. But I'm waiting for you to respond to the word." May the Lord continue to wait until we wait for him. Until we call upon his name and earnestly seek his face for blessing. We have heard the word, words like that word in Deuteronomy 4:29, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with thy whole heart." The Lord's waiting for us to seek him with the whole heart. And he says, "When you seek me with the whole heart, I'll bless you." Or the word that's found in Lamentations 3:25, "The Lord is good unto all them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Or the word in Hosea 10, verse 12, "It is time to seek the Lord, that he come and rain righteousness on you." Oh, may the Lord patiently wait. Continue to stay his hand of judgment until we begin calling upon him, seeking him with a whole heart, because it's then, he says, then I'll be gracious. So he was waiting. He was waiting for the elders in Israel to realize their mistake and to respond. This was an act of rebellion. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, And yet the Lord says, I will wait. I will wait for you to return to me. And when you return to me, I'll be gracious unto you. He was waiting for them to return. They put their trust in horses and in chariots. They put their trust in the arm of flesh. And the Lord told them the arm of flesh will fail. And I'll wait until you put your trust in me. And when you put your trust in me, I will be gracious unto you. I'll wait until you return. I'll wait until you come back to me. Just as the father waited for his prodigal son. Every morning he would go out and look towards the horizon, waiting for his son to return. And how gracious he was unto him when he did return. So the Lord is waiting for us to return. And when we return, he'll be gracious unto us. If Judah would turn from Pharaoh, turn from Egypt and look again to the Lord and put their trust in him alone, he said, I will be gracious unto you. He wanted to hear from their lips, my spirit looks to God alone. My rock and refuge is his throne. In all my fears and all my straits, my soul on his salvation waits. O dear child of God, let us look again to the Lord. Earnestly with all of our hearts, this is our only hope of survival. Save in that life-giving breath. Notice how easy the Lord makes it for us. He makes it easy for us when he says, I will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. Verse 19. He will be very great, very gracious. As though to say, I will be gracious. As though to say, that's not enough, but I will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. That's all he wants to hear. God is so willing to bless. He's so willing to be gracious. He so wants to bless us that he says to us, all I want to hear is the voice of thy cry. That's all. And once I hear the voice of my people, then the Lord says, I will answer. And in answering, I will be very gracious. May the Lord hear the voice of our cry. May we set our hearts to seek the Lord. May the Lord deliver us out of this awful calm I feel we're in. And that will only happen. The wind of God will come when we seek the Lord with the whole heart and when we wait for him. He says, all I need to hear is the voice of your cry. Next we have the Lord's plan for his people. The Lord made it known that he would patiently wait for his people to return to him. Then he would be gracious unto them. If they will but seek his face and wait for him, then he will be gracious. Yea, very gracious. And he says then, here's his plan, verse 18 again, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. Now we would like to turn it around the other way and read it as follows. Therefore will he have mercy upon you, that he might be exalted. That would be true. Whenever the Lord has mercy upon us, then he is exalted. But that's not the truth that is set out here, because the Lord, through the prophet, says, therefore will he be exalted, that he might have mercy. So the exaltation comes first before the demonstration of the Lord's mercy. The Lord says, I will be exalted that I may have mercy. What does that mean? The answer is in Isaiah 33 verse 10. This is what it means for the Lord to be exalted in this context. Verse 10, now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. What was the Lord doing in the first part of this verse? He was waiting. As we said, the Lord tells us that he would wait for Judah. He would sit, as it were, waiting for Judah, waiting for that day when he would hear their voice. And when he would hear their voice, the Lord says, I will be exalted. I will rise up. I will rise up, as it were, from my sitting position. I will rise up. I will be exalted that I may have mercy upon you. The Lord was saying, I will rise up to my very throne. And the further I rise, the greater will be the blessing upon you. I will be exalted that I may have mercy upon you. And the Lord here is saying, I have much blessing in store for you. I'm going to rise up that I may pour out more blessing upon you. What did he say? At the voice of thy cry, I will be very gracious. And oh, dear child of God, here is the Lord's plan. We have his plan, and it is seen there in his interest in his people. Judah had rebelled. The Lord called them rebellious children. You've gone away into Egypt. You've looked to Pharaoh for help. What about my help? And yet, by these words in our text, the Lord makes it known how interested he is in his people. So the Lord says, I will be very gracious unto thee. Dear child of God, the Lord has an interest in us. And this interest will be demonstrated by the Lord being very gracious to us, having mercy upon us. Would that not then be an exhortation, an encouragement for us to seek the Lord? Because not only do we see here the Lord's interest in his people, but the Lord sets before them an incentive He is the incentive for His people. For the Lord said through His prophet that He would be exalted that He may have mercy on you. Here the Lord reveals His intention to His people. He waits for them to seek His face because He says, I want to be very gracious unto you and I want to demonstrate my mercy to you. I will be exalted that I may have mercy upon you. David, in the Psalms, again and again would pray for the Lord to have mercy upon him. An example is Psalm 6, verse 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. David often went to the throne of grace and pleaded for mercy. And you read the Psalms and you come across the word mercy over and over and over again. But look at this instance. Here the Lord is saying, I will be exalted that I may have mercy upon you. In other words, the Lord is saying to the elders in Judah, you hardly have to ask. You hardly have to ask for mercy. I'm so ready and so willing to show you mercy. And dearly beloved, this morning, it's the same Lord and the same God. And He says to us today, you hardly have to ask. I'm ready and willing to show you mercy. Why then will you not wait upon the Lord? Why will you not pray unto me? Why will you not cry unto me? All I need to hear is the voice of your cry, and I'll be very gracious. I will be exalted. I will rise up that I may have mercy upon you. The word mercy means to love or to pity. And the Lord is ready to show us His mercy because He pities our plight and because He loves us. What an incentive. Notice also he has identified to His people. Because we read again in our text, and therefore will He be exalted that He may have mercy upon you. So the Lord is a God of judgment. The reference here is to God's fairness in dealing with His people. He is a God of judgment. You can read Psalm 111, verses 7 and 8. There the psalmist prays to that very end that the Lord would deal with him in judgment or the Lord would deal with him in fairness. That's how the Lord does deal with His people. He deals with us fairly. He's a God of judgment. His judgment is righteous judgment. And here the Lord is saying to the elders in Judah, if you return to me and you begin to pray and I hear the voice of your cry, I will deal fairly with you. See how willing and ready the Lord is to bless His people. I will deal fairly with you. Because I'm a God of judgment. Isn't it good that we don't have a God who's like that unjust judge the Lord spoke about in the parable, who was reluctant to grant the petition, reluctant to hear her case. Not so with our God. No reluctance on His part. He's a God of judgment. He will deal with us fairly. and he's waiting to be gracious. Just let me hear sound of your voice at the throne of grace, and I will be very gracious unto you. And finally and quickly, we have the Lord's promise to his people. His promise, blessed are all they that wait for him. There you have, first of all, the exercise. Waiting. It's the same word that's used regarding the Lord waiting. Therefore will the Lord wait. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The word means to wait earnestly. The word means to wait with sincerity of heart. Psalm 33 verse 20, the word is used, there our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That's the exercise. He has revealed his willingness to bless us. How willing then are we to ask for his blessing? It's the same word. May the Lord give us that same earnestness as we wait. That's the exercise in this promise. And then you have the extent of this promise. The Lord says that he will, blessed are all they that wait for him. All. The weakest saint, the strongest saint, the youngest saint, the oldest saint. Blessed are all they. Child that prays, the Lord will bless that child. Person who's just saved a few days, hardly knows how to pray, the Lord will bless that newborn babe in Christ. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And then the experience, the blessing. That's the experience. And is that an experience? Is that not an experience we all are looking for? Blessing of God upon us, upon our souls, upon our homes, upon our children, and upon our church. Oh, may the Lord lead us to the throne of grace, where we may wait for him, that he may bless us. Or as James Montgomery wrote, prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer, thyself hath trod. Then, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's bow our heads now in prayer. Loving God and gracious Father, we ask thee, most loving God, that indeed thou wilt teach us to pray. O Lord, do come to our witness, come to our hearts, come to our homes. Lord, come by thy Spirit. O cause the very wind of heaven to blow. Awake, O north wind, and come thy south, and blow upon thy garden, that the pleasant spices might flow out. May the pleasant spices of this thy garden in Port Hope, Lord, flow out to all in this town and the surrounding areas. We thank Thee that Thou art the God who is waiting to be gracious. O Lord, help us to wait for the Lord. Be with us now as we leave this place of worship. And may the blessing of the Triune God go with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, looking to Thee, Lord, to meet with us tonight around the throne of grace and around Thy word here in this house. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.